declare, get yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Tonight I want to announce to you that you are up to the task. You are up to the task. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. What you need to accomplish whatever God has assigned you to accomplish in life, you have it. It's important to understand that nobody here is here by chance, by mistake, or by accident. You were meant to be here. You are not here by chance. You didn't come to this meeting tonight because you were invited. You came because you were summoned. You were summoned and predestined long in eternity before time appeared to be seated here tonight under the sound of the servant of God. And you must believe that you are not a mistake. I was looking at a scripture the other day when Jacob was old and was lying on his bed about to die. The angel of death had come for Jacob. Then he remembered that he hadn't blessed his children and his grandchildren. And he has not prophesied and predicted the future of his children and grandchildren. And therefore, he put the angel of death on hold and said, no, it's not yet time. I have some unfinished business. And you got to wait till I'm finished. And Jacob understood that he's here to serve a purpose. And until that purpose is over, the angel of death cannot have him. Therefore, he determined the terms of his death and put the angel of death on hold. When you understand your purpose and the reason for your being, you can determine the terms of your death and your departure. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say, I hear you. So I want you to know that you are here for a purpose. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. And it doesn't matter what you've been through and what men have said of you and the family you come from and who your father is and who your mother is or was, where you were born, the color of your skin, who your father and your mother is or was, has nothing to do with purpose and destiny. Jesus was born in a manger, and he didn't stay in a manger. He rose to the highest pinnacle in life. Though his beginning was small, and where he was born looked so insignificant, it did not interfere with his purpose and the destiny for which he was born. So understand that. See, I hear you. All right, let me have my reader. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Where am I reading? 2 Kings chapter 4. Reading from the first verse to the seventh verse of 1 Kings chapter 4. Reading from the first verse to the seventh verse.
2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1.
Yeah.
Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children of the rest.
I'd like to give you a little background and try to help you to see a revelation in all of this. The Bible said that without vision, people perish. And I find out that vision is important than strength and than power. I was talking to one of my sons this afternoon, and I was telling him that power changes hands between the night and the day in the animal kingdom, among the two strongest animals in the animal kingdom, the lion and the elephant. It is believed that during the day, the sight of the lion is weak, and that the elephant sees better during the day. And so it gives the elephant an advantage over the lion during the day. The elephant has the upper hand. And during the night, the lion sees better. So power shifts during the day and the night. And what determines the shift of power is not the strength of the lion or the strength or the power of the elephant, is the vision. Say vision. Come on, shout it. Say vision. So when the Bible said without vision people perish, it simply means that your vision is what determines the outcome of your circumstances and the choices you make. If you have a poor visibility or a bad vision, you make wrong choices and wrong decisions. See, I hear you. Now here was a prophet that served God, and he did serve God well, because the wife told Elisha that your servant served well. He was faithful. He was a good man. But even though he was faithful, he was a good man. He was a prophet, and he did all the right things that was required of him. Yet he died broke. Say, I refuse to die broke. And there is a reason why people would die broke and people die broke. The servant was busy prophesying and busy working the works of God and didn't pay attention to legacy. Didn't pay attention to legacy. Didn't pay attention to what happens hereafter. Anyway, he passed, and the creditors had come for his two sons and to take them into slavery. So she went to the prophet and said to the prophet that, you know your servant was a good man and he served faithfully in his prophetic ministry. He did right, but he died broke and left me and the children in debt. And the creditors have come to take my two sons into slavery. The prophet did not give her money. The prophet did not give her money. I always say to my pastors that whenever you lack money, it's a sign of lack of vision. Whenever you don't have money, it's lack of vision and it's lack of new ideas. Because all the billionaires of our time did not become billionaires through money. It was an idea that gave birth to their wealth and to their money. The Wright brothers, the sons of Bishop Wright in Great Britain, invented the aircraft. It was an idea that brought that creation that made them wealthy and rich. And everybody seated here, You are carrying something that will impact your world. Now, you never have money until you meet a need in the life of somebody. I will only give you my money if you meet a need in my life. And there is so much need all about us and all around us that if we will stop looking for money and begin to look at a need, where is a need in the community? Where is a need in the area? If you begin to meet a need, you have money. Nobody gives you their money if you don't meet a need. And there is a need that you are designed to fulfill. And when you fulfill and you meet that need, whatever you need in life, you attract it and it comes to you by meeting a specific and a particular need. Now, if you look at history and you look at all the great men and women that have made it in life financially, they met a particular need. And meeting that need brought to them everything they will ever need and they ever needed. You have something to meet a particular need. And if you can discover what you have and find what is needed, what is lacking, and you begin to do something about what is lacking and what is needed, it doesn't matter where you live on the earth. You can be blessed. You can be mega. You can become something. If you believe it, say yes. Yes. And so she went to the prophet and said to the prophet, we need some help. And the prophet didn't give her money. The prophet said to her, what do you have? She said, I don't have anything. I have nothing. But she had something. Tell somebody you have something. You have something. She said, I don't have anything. I need some answers. I need a solution. I need a way out. I need something. I'm in trouble. My two sons are about to be taken. And the prophet said, what do you have? She said, a little bowl of oil. A little bowl of what? Oil. Say a little. A little bowl of oil. And the prophet said, that is all you need. That is all you need. Tell somebody, what you have is all you need to bring about the desire change. Anybody here needs a change? Anybody here desire a change? Come on. Come on, give me a wave offering. Whatever you need to bring about that change. You see, God is not going to work with what you don't have. And he's not going to work with what you've lost. He's going to work with what you have. Say, I hear you. And so, the prophet said, put your two sons to work. Those two sons, you are scared of losing, who ain't doing nothing, I want you to put them to work. Tell somebody, put to work what you have. Say, put to use what you have. He said, put your two sons to work. Let them go to the community and borrow empty vessels and bring it. Let them go all over. Work. Let them go to work. Keep them busy. Keep them busy. Save them from idleness. Save them from themselves. Let them go out to the community and do something. Let them go and borrow empty vessels. Now, what bothered me as I looked at this scripture is the fact that the woman was already in debt. The husband left the debt. She inherited it. Now the prophet said, go borrow. One of the problems with our banking system, Mr. Mayor, and our business community is the fact that when you are in debt, you take money from the bank and you are owing the bank, instead of them to work with you to make ways and find ways of solving the problem so you can make money and pay them, because of the fact that we are wired to make gain, profit, they refuse to help you out. But I know friends of mine in America and in Europe who borrowed money from the bank, and when they were in debt and they couldn't pay, people like the Donald Trumps and many others, the bank had to make a deal with them to give them more money to help them make money to pay their debt and to come out of the mess. But for whatever reason, over here, because of the way we are wired, we are afraid of death. And when you are in debt, it's like some kind of a shame and embarrassment that great America is in debt. It owes China trillions of dollars. Every country is in debt, including Ghana. Everybody is in debt. So you are not going to be the first nor the last, so it's okay. But anyway, the prophet said, woman, I want you to take a risk. Tell somebody, take a calculated risk. Take a calculated risk. He said, I want you to take a risk. And this is the risk. I want you to go borrow. I can see the woman say, prophet or man of God, what is wrong with you? My husband borrowed, has brought me into this mess. I'm about to lose my sons, and you are telling me to go borrow? Borrow empty vessels. So she gave the instructions, and the sons went all over the community and borrowed empty vessels. But few things here, lessons to learn. When she came, all she was talking about was the past. Your servant was a good man and was faithful. She was dealing with the past. She wasn't dealing with the now. She was dealing with the past. And the prophet said, I know your husband was faithful. He was a good man, but that is the past. Let's talk about the now. What do you have? She said, a little bowl of oil. And he said, go borrow empty vessels. If we will stop thinking about ourselves and begin to cultivate the attitude of pouring into others, you will never go empty. You will always have something if you have the attitude of pouring into others. So the prophet said, stop focusing about yourself, on yourself. Get empty vessels, bring them in, and lock the door behind you, and pour the little oil you have in the bowl into those empty vessels. And as she poured and poured, it kept flowing into those empty vessels, and it never stopped. Watch this. It never ceased flowing until all the empty vessels were full, and there was no empty vessels anymore. Then the oil ceased. The oil did not cease until there was no empty vessels to use anymore, to pour into it. Few lessons here before I talk to you. Most times when we're in trouble and we are struggling, when I was a young man, before I got born again, I went to Stowe twice. And I came to Kumasi, and then I went through Kumasi to La Côte d'Ivoire, and then my first Stowe took me to Marseille, next to Paris in France. Second Stowe took me to Haifa in Israel. I was looking for something that was right here with me, and I was looking out there. And there are so many of you who are here. You are looking to go to America. That's why our people are always in the embassy being mishandled and being treated in all kinds of ways, because you are made to believe, you are programmed to believe that the only way you can succeed is to get out of Kumasi and go to Accra or go to Europe or go to North America. Who told you that your breakthrough is out there? Your breakthrough is right here where you are. Are you hearing me, somebody? Your breakthrough is in discovering what you have and a need around you and meeting that need. By meeting a need around you qualifies you to be a beneficiary of the wealth and of the resources of the community and where you are. See, I hear you. Now, this woman was very troubled and afraid of her future. What she needed was not with the prophet. What she needed was with her. The Bible says, eyes have they, but they see not. She had eyes, but she lacked the sight, the vision, to see that what she needed was right with her. The answer and the solution was in her house. She was looking all over the place. She went to the prophet looking for solution, and the prophet said, I don't have anything to offer you. The answer, the solution, what you need to solve your problem is in your house. Tell somebody, the answer is in your house. And that is The problem we all have, we look to others, but sometimes you'll be surprised that the people you look up to and you admire them lack something you have. Because you see, if you look at the 8th verse of the same chapter, you realize that there was a rich woman called the Shunammite who had so much wealth and money, but she didn't have children. And here was this woman you would think was poor and didn't have anything but her children. The rich woman was not a mother, but the woman we call poor was a mother. Are you hearing me, somebody? You might think you don't have anything, and you might be looking to somebody you think has something you don't have, but you don't know that the person you admire, the person you respect and think has something you don't have, needs something you have. Are you hearing me, somebody? Tell somebody, I have something you need. I have something you need. Sit down for 2 minutes. You might not notice it. You might not see it. You might not know it. But I'm telling you, you have something somebody needs. You are unique. You are special. You are different from everybody else. You are not like anybody. You are different. You are unique. You have something others need. If you can find what you have that others need, you've made it in life. Are you hearing me, somebody? Nobody can do what you do like you. Do you hear what I say? I don't believe anybody can pray like I do. You can pray any prayer you want to pray. You can quote every scripture you want to quote. But brother and sister, when I stand out there, and are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. You know what makes me unique? Because I know what I have. Do you know what you have? Come on, somebody. I said, do you know what you have? Tell somebody, discover what you have. Discover it. Discover it. Discover it. Sit down for 2 minutes. You know, when I went to pray for President Donald Trump, the vice president, the cabinet, I wasn't the only person who prayed. I mean, I did the inaugural prayer. There's a service they do, which is a tradition. It's just about 300 people at a special chapel opposite the White House. And it's something that is done over the years for the president, his family, vice president, his family, and the whole cabinet. They don't allow cameras and everything to come in there. And others were there. But it was only my prayers that was tweeted by the vice president of America. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because everybody came reading their prayers. And they had asked me to send them my prayers. So I sent them the prayers. I wrote it and I sent them to them. But when I stood there to pray, I put the paper aside. Come on, somebody say yeah. And the Bible said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Say yes. So when I stood there, I put my hands on my belly. And I say, I don't have anything. I don't have logic, and I don't have philosophy, and I don't have intellectual capability, but I have a little cruse of oil. I got some oil in my belly. So I lay my hands on my belly, and I say, oh, rivers of living water, flow one more time. Put your hands on your stomach and say, all rivers flow, all rivers flow. Come on, shout, yeah. Sit down for 2 minutes. Tell somebody, you got something. If you can discover what you have that makes you you, hear me, a man's gift shall make room for him. The gift God is giving you is the key to unlock the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Everybody got something. You know what your problem is? You are looking at what I have, but what I have is designed for me. It's not designed for you. So when you try to be me, it don't work, because it's not designed for you. You gotta find what you got, because everybody got something. Say yes. Give somebody a high five and say, I got something. Sit down for 2 minutes. When I was invited in the mix of my adversity and storm years ago in America to dedicate the Potter's House of Bishop T.D. Jakes in Dallas, Texas, they asked me to dedicate the Potter's House. And I said, Lord, the Vice President of America is going to be there. All the big boys are going to be there. And everybody's going to be watching, and everybody's going to be doing their own thing. And the Lord said, son, don't worry about anybody. Focus on what you have. Put to use what you have. Use what you have. So I went in there. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I touched my stomach. Hey. And I said, Lord, all the theologians are here. The professors are here. The Hebrew scholars, the Greek scholars, everybody is here. Lord Almighty, you have to help me out. I need some help. And the Lord said to me, son, you already have my help. And I said, what is it? He said, I gave you something. It's right in your belly. So use it. Let it flow. They gave me 10 minutes. And I prayed for 7 minutes. After praying for 7 minutes, the meeting for 1 hour, nobody could touch the service. The place broke open. People were screaming and shouting and crying and praising God. The atmosphere was so much on fire. It was hot. Nobody could touch it. Up to today, I keep receiving invitations out of that one prayer. Now hear me. This is the invitation. I get invited, and this is the letter. That is how they write the letter. We have the privilege and the honor to invite you, Archbishop, to our church to just pray. Don't preach. Don't teach. Just come, pray. And we'll put you in a we'll give you a first class ticket. We'll put you in the presidential suite. Just come and pray, and you can go. Are you hearing me, somebody? I find what I have. I realize that God gave me something. You don't need, hear me, you don't need to travel out of Ghana or out of Kumasi. You don't need to go anywhere. You got to discover what you got. When you discover what you have and you start putting to use what you have, what you need will come. Come on, somebody. Hey, tell somebody what you have. Come on, talk to me. Say, what you have will bring you what you need. You didn't get it. Some of you is going to take you time to get it. The day you discover what you have, the day you discover what you have, that is the day. That is the day you will discover the provision, the harvest, the increase. Everything you need is embedded in what you have. And folks are thinking about what they don't have, and they don't focus on what they have. The woman wasn't thinking about what she had, the little bowl of oil. The little bowl of oil had the capacity to meet every need, to pay the debt, to redeem the sons, and have left over. Are you hearing me? Now look, sit down. Jesus fed the 5,000, excluding women and kids. So definitely it was more than 5,000. Logically, you can conclude that there were about 20 or 25,000 if you add the women and the children, because the children and the women are always more than the men. There was a young man with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And that was his lunch. Jesus said, you have something. But you see, it didn't look like what he had can meet all the need around. You see, that is the problem. We always look at what is around us. We look at the circumstances around and we belittle the solution. Are you hearing me, somebody? We underestimate what we have. But I came to tell somebody, don't underestimate what you have. Give somebody a high five and say, you have something, you have something. You got something. You got something. Mr. Mayor, I know there have been a lot of mayors before you. I know there have been a lot of ministers before you. And so many have come and gone. My father was the first district commissioner of Kumasi in the days of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. There have been some big boys that have come and gone. But you know something? You don't need to worry about them. You don't need to consider what they did or what they didn't do. Just discover what you got, because you got something. And if you will put to use what you got, you will end up living a legacy and doing what your predecessors could not do, because you focus and you put to use what you had. Somebody, give somebody a high five and say, you got something. Sit down for 2 minutes. The woman put to use. You know what the problem is? We don't put to use what we have. We want what we have to increase before we put it to use. It's not going to increase till you put it to use. The oil didn't flow as long as it was sitting there in the pot. The oil began to flow when she began to pour. You are not going to multiply. You are not going to increase. You will not become anything in life. You will not accomplish anything in life as long as you hold on to what you have. If you don't release it, if you don't put it to use, if you don't pour it, you will never fill anybody. And there are empty vessels all around us. Are you hearing me? they are waiting for you to put what you have to use. When you begin to put what you have to use, you will begin to feel others. When you begin to feel others, you will never go dry. You will never go empty. Why? Because to him that has shall more be given. It's a principle. It's a protocol. You will never go wrong when you give. You never go wrong when you to use what you got for the benefit of others. You never go wrong. Now, can I work it a little bit? Now, watch this. Hear me. The young man was given lunch by his father to go hear the word. And what he was given was to take care of him only. When he surrendered it to Jesus, it was little. It didn't look like it could meet any need. You will be amazed at what you have can accomplish in this life on the behalf of so many. You will be amazed at the kind of solution and the kind of answers that you can provide to your generation. You will be amazed that you sitting there, so small, tiny and little as you are a game changer. Let me give you a little background of me. I didn't go to school. Among my father's kids, I didn't go to school. Life was tough. Life was difficult. When my mother took seed of me, she bred for 4 months. Dr. Sokwa Mante said, Florence, you are not going to survive this pregnancy. You are anemic. She lied in the pool of blood. And the doctor said, you can't make it. You are weak. You can't carry this pregnancy. So they went to theater and they did a D&C then to abort the pregnancy. Months after the D&C, the stomach kept growing. And they found out when they went back to theater that we were twins. And that the D&C took my twin. And by some divine providence, say divine providence, I survived. Are you hearing me, somebody? I survived. Because I have to be here. I have to stand here. I got to talk to you. It was a command and a decree in eternity long before time that I had to be here. Say yes. So every attempt and effort of the enemy did not work and won't work. Are you hearing me? It's not going to work. It cannot work. Say yes. So I was born. And there were all kinds of crises between my father and my mother. There were adversities and so many challenges. So I ended up with my mom. My mom was not strong enough to command me. So I had freedom without a sense of responsibility. Anytime anyone has freedom without the sense of accountability and responsibility, you are setting them up for destruction. I was powerful. I had energy without direction and without management. I wasn't being managed. My mother could not command me. I lived with my mom. I did what I wanted. I was out there on marijuana and on all kinds of substance. Wouldn't go to school. Did my own thing until I started having hallucination and put my hands, fired myself and bent my fingers. Self-destruction. I was at the point of destruction. I was on a suicidal mission to destroy my life. Something saw my star. An evil eye saw this star and wanted to kill it and to shoot it down. And somebody who sits on the circles of the earth said, not so, not so. Tell somebody, not so, not so. You didn't hear me. Tell somebody, not so. I survive. Tell somebody, I survive. Sit down for 2 minutes. So, when I got born again, one day I was sitting in a friend's house, an old friend of mine, Akwesi Amwakuhene, and I was watching television, Christian television, and this guy came and preached. He was a Nigerian preacher, Archbishop Idahosa of blessed memory. And when I heard him, the audacity, the power, the utterance, I sat there and I said, wow, I want some of this. And the Lord said, you can have it. It's already in you. And I said, me? I got some of this. He said, yeah, you got it. And he said, go see him. He will tell you what to do. So I tried to find out how to reach him. Fortunately, he was in town. And he was leaving for Nigeria that same day. When I got to his office at Bano, Link Road, he was coming down to enter his car to go to Nigeria. And I intercepted him. I crossed him. Somebody say cross, cross, cross. I cross him. And he looked at me and said, what do you want, young man? And I said, sir, the Lord have asked me to see you and you will tell me what to do. And he looked at me and said, the Lord has not told me anything. And I said, then ask him. Somebody say yes. So he said, leave your address and your phone and go home. We'll call you. So I left my number, my address, and I went. About a month or two after, I had a letter. I was given scholarship to come to Benin City. So I went to Benin City. I couldn't speak English. It was broken English. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. I couldn't sign my name. So when I got to the Bible school, I said, Lord, you and I need to talk. He said, okay, what is it? I said, I think you made a mistake. And he said, what is my mistake here? I said, you said he would tell me what to do. He said I should come to Bible school. All these guys here, including some of my mates, Ajari and others, are all university graduates. And I can't read and I can't write. And I can't speak English. And you put me in the mix of all these folks. You want to make a mess out of me? And the Lord said, have you not heard? And have you not been told? That I am an expert of taking a nobody and making a somebody out of him. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm a nobody. Can you make somebody out of me? He said, I make something out of nothing. So he said, as long as you will remember and acknowledge where you have come from and not take credit for what I make out of you, I will make something out of you. And you will become a sign and a wonder and a miracle to your generation. So I said, okay, Lord, you win. From that day, I opened the Bible and I started reading and preaching Bible, King James, English. Ditto, 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 thou art God. Are you hearing me, somebody? Just ditto, King James, English. Preach it. Read it, preach it, sign my name, speak English, to the point where I could understand pretext and protext and context of text. Somebody say yes. I discovered what I had. And God said, son, it don't matter your background and it doesn't matter what you don't have. Stop thinking about what you don't have. Focus on what you have. You got something. You know what your problem is? You are looking at what others have and not focusing on what you have. Focus on what you have. What you have is designed to bring you what you need. Are you hearing me, somebody? Sit down for 2 minutes. Let me finish quickly. Let me finish. Watch this. The young man had 5 loaves of bread. Can I come down? Had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. 2 fish. Thank you, Victor. 2 fish. 5 loaves of bread. The 5 loaves of bread, when it was put in the hands of the master and it was put to use, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish fed over 5,000. He didn't stop there. When he was leaving the house, he left the house with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He came back with 12 apostles carrying 12 baskets. Are you hearing me? With loaves and with fishes. And the father said, "What is this?" He said, "Harvest." He said, "Breakthrough." And the father said, "What kind of harvest and breakthrough? What have you done, son? Who gave you the money to buy all of this?" He said, "I didn't buy anything. The 5 loaves and the 2 fish had in it 12 baskets. The 12 baskets the apostles are carrying that have brought home this overflow, this abundance, this plenty, it was in the 5 loaves and it was in the 2 fish. Do you know that what you are holding on to, that which you think is small and little, has the miracle you need? Your harvest is in what you have. The abundance is in what you have. You need, let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here who has a need or something? You need something, have a need or something. Come on, wave at me. Now, you know why you don't have it? Because what you need is in what you have. And until you discover what you have, no matter how little and small it is, the solution is not in what you need. It is in what you have. Now, see now, let me finish quickly. You remember, watch this. You remember Moses stood by the Red Sea. Behind him was 300,000 horses, 100,000 chariots, 50,000 footmen coming at him and the children of Israel. On the right and left, hills and mountains and a desert. Before him was a Red Sea. He looked up and cried and said, "Lord, help!" And the Lord said, hey, take it easy, what you want? He said, I want a miracle. And the Lord said, "What do you have in your hands?" He said, "A rod." He said, "Okay, son. The miracle is in the rod. Use it." Say, "Use it." You see, that is the problem you and I have. We are not using what we have. We are looking for some big things, big deals, big stuff. But you see, you don't need any big stuff. You just got to put to use the little you have. If you can start using the little you have, the little you have will bring you the abundance and what you don't have. Say yes. Sit down for 2 minutes. You see, a lot of sisters want to get married. They want to get married. You're beautiful. You smell good. But ain't no man going to find you because you're a woman and because you're beautiful. You're beautiful. The Bible never said he that finds a woman finds a good thing. He said he that finds a wife. So you ought to stop being a woman and become a wife. That's it. And what it takes to be a wife is inside of you. If you can put to use the attributes of a wife and start cultivating the attributes of a wife, the men are going to look at you. The reason why you are beautiful and attractive and you smell good, thank you, sir. And then, can I have it, please? Thank you. And they are not looking at you is because you are not a wife. You're a beautiful thing. You know, have you ever seen a very some way lady, very short little thing, walking with this giant? And you ask yourself, how did this little something get this giant? And this giant will see all these other women tall like him, and he sees them as three walking and don't see them. All he sees is this little thing. This little thing has discovered what she has. You haven't gotten it yet. She has discovered what she has. She knows how to work the giant. Ah, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. You didn't hear me. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together and shout, yes! Sit down for 2 minutes. So, you see this very educated madam, and she speaks the Queen's English, and she speaks slangs, and this little thing don't speak any Queen's English, but she knows how to work the giant. She calls the giant my lord, miwura, inche, mipacho, ofane, pardon me, please. Are you hearing me? And the African man is a mandingo. He's a wild animal. You got to know how to talk him. You got to know how to work him. You got to know how to tame this animal. You try to talk to the African man, the Queen's English, you're going to make him mad to devour you. Are you hearing me? Somebody say yes. You go to the animal kingdom and provoke a lion to devour you. You got to know how to talk to the African brother. You got to know the language. Are you hearing me? To use when you're dealing with the African brother. Because the African brother, I didn't see anything. Sit down. So Moses said, God, help! Somebody screams, say, help! He said, from whence cometh my help? I lift up my eyes to the hills of Zion. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from he that made the heavens and the earth. And he that made the heavens and the earth, say, hey, take it easy. The help you need. You got it. Say, you got it. He said, where is it? He said, what do you have? What you got in your hand? Joshua, you got something. The only reason why you don't have money is because you haven't yet known how to use what you got. If you know how to use what you got to meet my need, I need to work on me. I got to lose some more weight. You got me, brother? You got something. But you got to know how to work what you got to meet my need. When you meet my need, my brother, I'm going to pay. Come on, somebody. See, I hear you. Sit down for 2 minutes. Give somebody a high five and say, you got something. You got something. Oh, I'm not hearing you. Say, you got something. You got something. Anybody here got something? I don't care what you think about you. And I don't care about the limitations and the restrictions and the color of your skin. You see, Obama is black like you and I. He is the first black man that ever became president of the United States. You know why? He discovered what he had. And when he discovered what he had, the white brothers, they could say whatever they wanted to say. They couldn't stop the brother. Because the brother discovered what he had. And he put what he had to work. He didn't have money. He got little donations. People didn't give him money. The big folks wouldn't give him money. Nobody believed in him. So he went to the grassroots. And he got $10, $20, $50. We want the big, we want $1 million and $2 million. Don't begin that way. Start with a little. Start with a little. A little there, a little there. Coming together, make a mighty ocean. Are you hearing me, somebody? We don't have respect for the little. We only have respect for big things. But there is no big without little. It is the little that becomes big. The young shall grow. If a child is born today and you go to the labor ward, and as soon as you get to the labor ward, the child says, "Mommy, mommy, me di fufu o." Akrantian kwan, ebunubunu. The mother will run away. The doctors will run away. The nurses will shout, "Mama, bro." Because children are not born to speak immediately. You go through a process. Somebody say process. Somebody say process. So that little is part of the process that takes you from zero to the millions. That little, that nothing. Nobody sees you right now. Nobody knows you right now. Don't worry about being known. Don't worry about people seeing you. Just use what you got. Use it. It's just a matter of time. Because vindication is in the womb of time. It's just a matter of time. Tell somebody it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Tell somebody right now, I may not be known. I may not be acknowledged. I may be nothing. I may look like a nobody. It's all right. It's just a matter of time. Because I know what I have. And I'm going to put it to use. And it's just a matter of time. Somebody is going to acknowledge me. Somebody is going to need me. Say yes. Sit down for 2 minutes. You know, the other day, King Saul misbehaved. You see, the test of a man and a woman, the test of life of a man and a true woman, is how you handle your neighbors when you have power, when you have money and relevance. How you handle people when you have power and money and relevance reveals who you are. Right now, I don't know you. But when you come into power, and you come into money and relevance, then I will know who you are. The way you treat me, the way you handle me, the way you talk to me, whether you talk to me as a human being or you talk me down because you got power, because you got money, because you got relevance, and you forget that power and money has expiry date. It's just a matter of time. So Saul became king. He began to misbehave. So God said, I'm going to pick me a shepherd from the backside of the desert. So God said to the prophet Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. I have a king. And he said, who is the king? He said, I won't tell you, but go there. He got to the house of Jesse. You know how amazing it is how sometimes parents don't even know who is the king among their kids. And he lined up 7 of them who he thought had what it takes. And he took the horn of oil and would pour, and the oil won't flow. He pours and the oil won't flow. Can I tell you something? The oil won't flow until it's your turn. Come on, somebody. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Everybody is forcing for the oil, but the oil is not for everybody. The oil is for a specific individual. And until it's your turn, the oil will not flow. Sit down for 2 minutes. The oil won't flow. He tried to force the oil to flow. It didn't flow. So he said to Jesse, do you have any other sons apart from this? He said, yeah. There is one. He's the black sheep of the family. He's always at the backside of the desert. He smells like sheep, act like sheep, talk like man. He said, go bring him. And when he came, he took the horn of oil, and the oil began to flow. You see, you know why your oil is not flowing? It's because it's not yet your turn. It's not your turn. You see, you can have an appointment with the doctor, and the appointment is 10 o'clock. You get there at 10. Then they give you a form to fill. 10 o'clock, you are still filling the form. 15 minutes after 10, they come for the form. 20 minutes after 10, you are still waiting. 30 minutes, 10:30, the nurse will come and say, oh, doctor will be with you. And quarter to 11, the nurse will say, doctor is ready to see you. So you go in and see doctor at 11. The appointment was 10. 10 was the time of the appointment. But 11 was your turn. So it can be your time, and it's not yet your turn. A woman is pregnant. She's in her season. On the 9th month, she moves from season into due season. Are you hearing me, somebody? Sometimes it can be your time. Wait for your turn. When you're traveling, they give you 12 o'clock departure time, 2 hours before departure. At 12 on the dot, the gate is shut. The plane leaves the parking place. It's on the tarmac. It's 12. It's still on the ground. There are aircrafts ahead of you. When those aircrafts takes off, it ceases to be your time. It becomes your turn. Are you hearing me, somebody? And the problem with all of us is we rush when it is our time, but you got to develop that capability of staying power, relentlessness, holding on till it's your turn. Are you hearing me, somebody? You don't have to worry about others. It's their turn. Let them take off. You are next in line. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes. Sit down for 2 minutes. Now, you remember Ishmael and the mother? When Ishmael and the mother Hagar left Abraham because Sarah wanted them to leave. So they left. There's meat there. I don't want to dwell there. They got to the wilderness. They ran out of food and ran out of water. Then Hagar left the kid and went somewhere crying and said, Lord, I know I'm about to die, but I don't want to see him die. So she left the child. And she cried. And an angel responded and said, Hagar, weep not. For God has heard the cry of the child. Who cried? The mother. But God heard the cry of the child, not the mother. You know why? Because the mother didn't have a covenant with God. It was the child's father that had covenant with God. So because of the covenant between God and the child's father, God remembered the child. You know, serve God not just for yourself, but serve him also for your kids. Because you see, when David served God and passed, Solomon did evil before God. And every time God was angry with Solomon, God would say, Solomon, but for David your father, I would have divided the kingdom. But for David your father. He couldn't do it. He said, but for David your father and the way he served me. Will you please serve God in a way and a manner that when your children heir and your grandchildren heir and your great-grandchildren heir, God will remember the way you served him and your sacrifices in his house and remember you and deliver them. Say yes. Sit down, 2 minutes. I'm finished. So the angel said, Hagar, weep not. For the sake of his father, God will deliver the land. And the Bible said, and God opened her eyes. Eyes have they, but they see not. And God what? Opened her eyes. And behold, right where she was, there was a well of water. And she and the son would have died for the lack of what? Water. And the water she needed to keep her and the son was right where she was. And she would have died. And the son would have died. Do you know how many people have died? Do you know how many people die every day for the lack of something that they need to keep them alive, which they have, and the inability to discover it? It was kills them. Your inability to discover what you have, to give you what you need, is what will kill you. My people are destroyed for the lack of vision. What she needed was right there. If you look at Exodus 15, don't turn to it. Exodus 15. The Bible said they came to the waters of Marah and they were thirsty. They were in need of water. They were dying. When they came to the waters and tried to drink out of the waters of Marah, the Bible said the waters of Marah was bitter that they couldn't drink out of it. And they murmured against Moses. And Moses cried and said, Lord, help! And the Lord said, Moses, take it easy. What's the problem? He said, the water is bitter. The people are dying. They need water. I need help. I need some answer. And God said, the answer is by the water. And the Bible said, the Lord opened his eyes. And right by the waters of Marah, he saw what? A tree planted there. And he cut a branch of the tree, cast it into the water, and the bitter waters became sweet. Where was the answer? Where was the solution? Do you know what your problem is? You've been veiled. You are veiled. You've been bewitched. They've cast a spell on you. That's why I want you to fast tomorrow. We need to break the spell. We need to break the bewitchment. We need to break the veil. We need to cancel that thing you call blind spot. Whatever it is that is not making you to see as you ought to see. Remember the blind man? Jesus took the blind man from the village. Out of that village. Took him out of town. Because the problem was where he was. And he said, I can't solve this problem in the very place that brought the problem. I got to take you out of the source of the problem to give you the answer. Are you hearing me? Jesus touched him and said, what seest thou? He said, I see men walking like trees. It's a problem of vision. It's a vision problem. If you can get hold of what I'm telling you, there are potential millionaires and billionaires sitting here. I'm telling you. I have raised millionaires. I deal with at least 3 billionaires. Not millionaires, billionaires. 3 who are friends of mine. They come visit me with their jet. I travel in their jets. 3 billionaires. And I've seen the way they think. They think different. You see them and you don't think they got money. And I try to process. I want to see how they process and how they think. And they think differently. They see differently. They perceive differently. And I've come to the conclusion that all things are possible. It doesn't matter the color of your skin and where you are. You can make a difference. If you can find what you have, and that is the prayer I want to pray for you and tomorrow, that everybody after this conference would discover what God gave you. God gave everybody something. You see, to one, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2. To one, he gave 1. The 5 put their own to use. The 2 put it to use. The 1 buried it. That is the problem with all of us. And to him that have more, to him that have, shall more be given. And to him that hath not, even what he has shall be taken. It's a principle. You are not using what you got. You are in haste. Don't take a shortcut. Shortcut will cut you short. Take your time. Take your time. Go through process. Take it one day at a time. Don't be in haste. Listen, every race demands speed. This race demands patience. Run the race set before you. With what? Speed? No. With haste? But what? Take it easy. This one is not giddy. This one is not ahism. This one is following protocol. I'm speaking to financial moguls. I'm speaking to business tycoons. I'm speaking to potential presidents, mayors, ministers of states, ambassadors, potential Elijahs, Elisha, Moseses, potential archbishops and bishops. Potentially, you have it. You know what your problem is? Until you discover it. You know why? See now, let me finish. You know why Israel stayed in the wilderness? My time is up. You know why Israel stayed in the wilderness for 40 years? It was a journey of 40 days and it became 40 years because they did not discover what they had and who they were. So they stayed in the wilderness. 40 days became 40 years. I pray that your journey will not be prolonged. Amen.